This morning we have a special guest with us. His name is Sam Risser, and he is part of the Gideons, and he is here to share with us about the Gideon ministry. Sam, if you'll come.
Good morning, everyone. Terry was a single mom from Billings, Montana. She had three kids and never enough money to pay the bills. And she thought life was just really tough and meaningless. And she didn't have any hope of things getting any better, which led to her being very discouraged and depressed. And because of that, she was sitting in a dark closet and she was expecting to end her life right there. In one final act of desperation, she cried out to God. She said, "If for some reason you don't want me to end my life right here, right now, you need to do something." That very moment, her son came bursting through the front door of their home, crying out, "Mama, Mama, look what I got." Terry, she dried her eyes and she crawled out of that dark closet to meet her son. He was holding a small Bible that he received at school that day through a Gideon Bible distribution. Terry and her son, they opened that Bible together, and they began a journey of faith. I would just like to thank you for the opportunity to share here in your worship service this morning about the exciting things that God is doing through the Gideon ministry. No matter what you might read, or no matter what you might hear, God is still at work. The Gideons, for over 110 years, have been distributing Bibles, God's Word, with the objective of having men, women, boys, and girls come to Christ before it is too late. Bibles are now being printed in over 90 languages and distributed in over 200 countries. The Gideons consider their ministry to be an extended arm with the local church, working in partnership with believers just like you around the world. And over the years, the Gideons have distributed over 2.2 billion Bibles. Just for the fiscal year ending May 31st, the Gideons, with the Lord's help, distributed over 84 million Bibles. It's hard to realize how many that would be. To make it a little easier to understand, if you would hold your hand over your chest and every time you feel your heartbeat, the Gideons have distributed on the average of 2.5 Bibles. As the Bibles are being distributed, several favorite verses of the Gideons are Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, which says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God stands forever." Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, says that God's word does not return void. As I shared these statistics with you, they give us a picture of the size and outreach of the ministry. But it's the testimonies of changed lives that touch our hearts and inspire us and challenge us in this Gideon ministry. There was a drug lab in the jungles of Central America. In it were many chemicals, guns, and 40 dangerous men. But also there was a Bible. And it's hard for us to understand, but then God's ways aren't our ways. Those dangerous men enjoyed reading that Bible so much that they would argue about whose turn it is to read it. That drug lab's no longer there. All 40 of those dangerous men became followers of Jesus, and 12 of them are now pastors. Hebrews 4:12, which you read for your scripture reading this morning, says that God's word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. John Price was with his parents in a motel in Miami, Florida. And John's parents were alcoholics. His mother had already passed out drunk on the bed, and his dad was out bar hopping for the night. And John, he watched TV for a little while, and well, then he started to get really bored, and he thought, well, he'll explore around the room to see what he can find. And he opened one of the dresser drawers, and there he found the Bible that was placed there by the Gideons. John's parents were also atheists. They said, "Don't you ever open a Bible, because all you'll ever find is fairy tales." But John, he was a teenager, and he was really curious. And he wanted to know what some of those fairy tales were. And he opened the Bible up, and he found Psalms 27:10, which says, "When my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me." Johnny slammed that Bible shut, And he said, that book's for me, and I'm taking it along home. And he put it in his suitcase. And whenever his parents weren't at home, he would get that Bible out and he would read it. And as he was reading that Bible, he realized his need for God, and he gave his life to Christ. Today, John's a pastor in Virginia, all because of God's grace and him finding that Bible there in that motel room in Miami, Florida. Robert came from a dysfunctional family, and he began to use drugs and alcohol at an early age, which many do today. It led to him spending some time in prison. And after 18 years of drug and alcohol abuse, Robert found himself living under a bridge, sleeping in a cardboard box, and getting his food out of garbage cans. And after he did that for a little while, he said, you know, this isn't worth it. Life isn't worth it at all. So he thought he would use a few dollars that he had in his pocket, which was the only money that he had left to his name anymore, and he'd check into a hotel, and there in the room during the night, he'd end his life. As Robert was there in that hotel room, he was cleaning out his pockets, and he found a piece of paper which someone had given him one time, which said, if you're desperate, call this number. Well, Robert thought, there can't be anyone any more desperate than I am, so he called the number. The person that answered the phone said, you go and open the nightstand drawer, and there you're going to find a Bible. And Robert thought, what crazy person am I talking to now? He'd even asked me where I am, but yet he knows what's in the nightstand drawer. But Robert, he went and he opened the nightstand drawer, and there too he found a Bible that was placed there by the Gideons. And he took that Bible out and he began to read it. And over the phone and through the help of the Holy Spirit, Robert became a believer in Christ. Today, Robert is a pastor, and him and his wife have started several ministries for people that are homeless and suffering from drug addiction. As John and Robert found those Bibles there in motel rooms, that's what the Gideons are most known for, placing Bibles in motels and hotel rooms. And I'm sure if you've done any traveling, you've probably seen one in the room where you stay for the night. I have a lot of people tell me that when they're traveling and they check into a room, they always look to see if the Gideons are doing their job and have a Bible in the room. I had someone share with me that they even found a Bible placed on a cruise ship when they were on a cruise. There are Bibles placed in more than 50,000 motels and hotels in the United States as well as around the world. But that accounts for less than 20% of the Bibles that are being distributed today. Where are more than 80% of the Bibles being distributed? In hospitals, in nursing homes, and in doctor's offices. A lady shared with me after a church service. She said the first Bible I ever seen in my life was when I was in the hospital at 9 years of age. It was a serious leg infection. She said we didn't have one Bible in our home. And she said there was a Bible laying there on the table beside my bed. And she said, I took that Bible and I began to read it. And she said, I liked what I read so much that I took that Bible along home. She said, I hope the Gideons didn't care. But because of that Bible, she became a Christian. And she's now a very active person in her local church. With Bibles being placed in doctor's offices, you might say, well, why do you do that? I had a lady come up to me after a church service, and she said, I don't know where you get your testimonies, but she said, I want to like to share with you. She said, I work in a doctor's office, and she said, we had a lady come to our office that was very distraught. Her and her husband were having marital problems, and they had separated, and the divorce papers were being drawn up. The lady that worked in the office, she went and got the Bible that the Gideons had placed there, and she marked some passages in it for the lady to read, and she sent it along home. The lady, she read those passages. She gave that Bible to her ex-husband to read, and he read those passages. A year later, they had reconciled, and the divorce papers were torn up. And I asked the lady, I said, would you care if I'd share that in church services? She said, I wish you would. Most military people have the opportunity to receive a Bible. Since 1941, the Gideons have distributed over 50 million military Bibles. And in my travels, I've had numerous elderly gentlemen tell me how that they received a Bible when they went into the military. And over the years, they said that's been one of their most valuable possessions. Larry was given a Bible when he went off to war. And it took Larry 2 years to open that Bible. But it didn't take long for the Lord to open his heart. And he went from being an atheist soldier to a military chaplain. I had a man share with me from my home county of Snyder County that was deployed 4 times. And he said, Sam, lots of times we didn't have much at all. He said a lot of our valuable possessions, they had to be turned in so they wouldn't get stolen. And he said by times we didn't have much left. But he said the Gideons gave each of us a Bible. And he said because of us having that Bible, we thought we had a lot. The ladies, auxiliary wives of the Gideon members, distribute Bibles to medical workers as well as support the ministry in prayer. Bibles are distributed in schools and universities. Julius was a young schoolboy living in Kenya, and he received a Bible from another student who had received it at a school distribution. It was really tattered, had some pages missing, but Julius didn't care. Because as he would read that Bible, it gave him hope in knowing that there was someone that loved him. I spoke in a church in Huntington County, out close to Raystown Lake. You probably know where that is. And the pastor got up and he said, it's Gideon Sunday. And he said, I'd just like to tell you. He said, when I was at home growing up, he said, we didn't have a Bible in our home. He said, we had a family Bible, but no one was allowed to touch that. And he said, the Gideons came to our school, and he said, they gave each one of us a Bible. And he said, some of my buddies, he said, that didn't mean anything to them. He said, I'm sure they threw them in the trash can. But he said, that Bible meant everything to me. He said, I read that Bible so much that some of the pages were even becoming thin. And he said, because of that Bible, I became a Christian. And I'm now your pastor here today. With Bibles being distributed in colleges and universities last fall, we distributed several Bibles short of 7,000 at the campus of Penn State University. We will be going back there again in September to distribute Bibles. Bibles are distributed in prisons to our prisoners. I had a man come up to me after church service right here in Union County, and he said, please don't forget to tell the people how that the Gideons distribute Bibles in our prisons to our prisoners. He said, I worked in the prison system of our country for over 30 years. And he said, I saw thousands of Bibles being distributed to the prisoners. At our pastor's banquet, a banquet that we hold each fall for the pastors in our county, we had a testimony speaker there by the name of Dutch Bradley that was originally from the Williamsport area. But his drug trafficking business took him to all areas of the country. At one time, he was a drug courier from New York City to Atlanta. And he told us how they wrapped the drugs around their legs so they wouldn't get caught. But he did get caught. And he was in Texas in prison, which happened to be the third time that he was in prison. And he called home to his mother in Williamsport, and he said, Mom, I'm back in prison again. And she said, son, I'm so sorry. She said, I'll keep praying for you. Well, Dutch wasn't optimistic that that would do anything because he heard that so many times before. But there was a little old man came down the halls of that prison. That's what he called the Gideon. And he looked into the prison cell and he saw Dutch in there. And he said, young man, he said, you look very discouraged. And he slid a Bible through the bars of that prison gate. And he said, this will help. And he said, I'll be praying for you. And it broke Dutch's hard heart. And for the first time in his life, he had a desire to open the Bible and read it. And as he was reading in that Bible, he read that because of Christ, that he could be a new creation and old things could be passed away. Dutch became a new creation. Today, he has a prison ministry. And he goes around and he tells the prisoners, he says, please don't be stubborn like you or like I was. He said, if it wasn't for that little old man sliding that Bible through the bars of that prison gate, he said, I'd still be in prison because I was sentenced to 37 years. But he said, even if I would have got out, he said, I'd probably be dead by now because of the lifestyle that I had. He had a very touching testimony, and I can't even give it full justice here this morning. As we distribute Bibles to these people that don't have Bibles, and we hear these testimonies of how their lives were changed, I'm sure everyone here this morning has a Bible. Most probably has several Bibles. And there's some people who have a lot of Bibles. One of the churches I spoke at, after I got done, the pastor, he got up and he said, "I'm one of those that have a lot of Bibles." He said, "I think if I counted the Bibles that I had in my home and the Bibles that I have in my study," he said, "I'd probably have over 40 Bibles. And after the church service, there was a young girl came up to him. She said, "Could I have some of those Bibles to give to my friends because they don't have any?" It's hard for us to understand how precious a Bible is or would be to so many people around the country. In more than 48 of the countries where the Gideons are organized in, their GDPs are so low those people struggle to survive. Many don't even know where their next meal come from. And those type of people will never even see a Bible, let alone own one, unless they have some assistance. In the Philippines, the Gideons handed a little girl a Bible, and tears started streaming down her face. A lady in Germany was given a Bible, and she said that was the first Bible that she could call one of her very own, and she was over 70 years old. The Gideons wanted to distribute Bibles at a school in Uganda. It wasn't easy to get there. The roads, they say, in Uganda aren't very good at all. And they took a four-wheel drive vehicle, and it still took them longer to get there than what they thought. And when they got there to the school, the students had already gone home for the day, and they were very discouraged after making that long trip. But the teachers saw them there, and they came running out, and they said, "Don't worry, we'll get the students back." And they began to ring the school bell, and those students began to fall back into that playground. And there in that dusty playground, over 600 students lined up, and the Gideons gave each one of them a Bible, which they gladly received. And the teacher said after the distribution, "We were praying for weeks and for months for someone to come and give our students that book that tells about Jesus." There is a real desire for many people around the world to get a Bible. I'd just like to give you a few examples of the great need for Bibles. India, with a population of 1.2 billion people, 17% of the world's population, less than 6% are Christians. And Bibles are being distributed there in the country at the rate of over 1 million Bibles a month. Paul was from Bangladesh, a Muslim country. And at the age of 18, he was offered a Bible. But they said they would only give it to him if he would promise to read it. And Paul said he would, because he said that's smaller than any of his Muslim books. And Paul, he took that Bible and he read it from cover to cover twice. And he became a believer in Christ. And that made his father very unhappy, and he had Paul put out of the family. And he asked the local witch doctor to inflict Paul with a serious disease. But the witch doctor said he couldn't, because Paul's new God was too powerful. Paul, he came to the United States to study. And now he's a pastor in the Boston, Massachusetts area, and also a church planting missionary trying to reach the Muslims throughout the whole Northeast with the good news of Jesus. With the real desire and the great need for Bibles, we believe now is a very important time for Bible distribution. When we consider the conditions around the world, we'd probably all agree that it might be as important time as ever in history. John 4:35 is a familiar verse which says, "Lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white, all ready for harvest." I'd just like to share with you how that you could help with the harvest, and how that you could be a vital and important part of this Gideon ministry in placing Bibles in people's hands that need them most. The first way that you could be an important part is by praying. Prayer is a very important part of the Gideon ministry, because we realize that prayer is the key to success no matter what we try to do. I'd just like to ask if you would join us in prayer for open doors to distribute Bibles. Lots of places it's getting harder all the time to distribute Bibles, especially right here in our own country. As I said, we distribute Bibles at Penn State University. We're actually not allowed on the campus. The distribution is done from the public sidewalks. I would also ask you would join us in prayer for the funds to purchase the Bibles. It takes a lot of money to print and ship over 87 million Bibles. And right now there are orders for over 13 million Bibles from 35 countries on hold because of the lack of funds. We also covered your prayers for the people that receive the Bibles that their lives might be changed. James 5:16 says the prayer of a righteous person availeth much. The second way that you could be an important part of this Gideon ministry is I would ask you to consider a financial gift. I don't like to talk a lot about money because I don't want you to think I'm here this morning begging for money. Because times are tough for a lot of people in today's economy. But what I would like to tell you, that every Bible that we distribute, every testimony that is shared of a changed life, is made possible because of the generosity of someone just like you. And I'd like to remind you what most people like to hear about with the Gideons. We're all volunteers. Administrative costs are covered by the dues that we pay. So when money's given, it can go toward Bibles. After church service, Amy, she handed to Gideon a $5 bill. And she said, I know it's not much. And she didn't have a lot of dollars, and that's all she could do. But she said, maybe it'll help a little. You know, $5 doesn't seem like very much today. It doesn't buy very much at all. But $5 will buy one of these larger Bibles, like you would find in a hotel, or it's distributed in the prisons to the prisoners. $5 will buy four of these Bibles that are used for school distributions and also given to our military men or military people. $5 doesn't seem like very much, but if it places a Bible in a person's hands, it could change their life. We hear a lot of talk today about many hopeless people around. I had a pastor share with me how in their area they have so many hopeless people and they're turning to drugs and alcohol. You know, if a Bible was placed in their hands, it could give them hope. I'd like to call your attention to these handouts that you find in your bulletin. In those handouts, those inserts, you can read more about the Gideons at your convenience. There's a leaflet there that if you would like to make a donation, you could use your credit card. As was mentioned, there'll be an offering taking up today, but if you aren't prepared, there's an envelope there that you could use to make a donation to the Gideons sometime in the future. I'd also like to call your attention to the cards that the Gideons have. You have a Gideon card display in your foyer. Those cards, which are free, have two purposes. You can use them and send them and encourage a person in time of need who doesn't like to get a card. And also you can make a donation to the Gideons at the same time. The Gideon International headquarters is in Nashville, Tennessee. And they receive many thank you letters from people around the world whose lives have been changed because of a Bible that they received. A young lady that was a university student wrote, she said the Gideons came to her university and gave her a Bible. And she said if she wouldn't have received that Bible, she'd probably be dead by now because of the lifestyle that she had, and it changed her life. Tim was in Taiwan in a hotel room on a job assignment when he received a call that his cousin and good friend had passed away. As Tim was thinking about that, he was overcome with loneliness and depression. When he went and he opened a dresser drawer, and there he found the Bible that the Gideons had placed there. And Tim, he took that Bible out, and he began to read it. And Tim said as he was reading that Bible, he felt the joy and comfort of the Holy Spirit come into his life like he never experienced before. And Tim said he hopes when he gets to heaven, he can thank the person that was responsible for getting that Bible there in that hotel room. When people thank the Gideons, they're thanking everyone that contributes to the ministry, everyone that prays, and everyone that makes a financial contribution. I'd just like to thank you again for the opportunity to share here in your service this morning. I count it a real privilege to be able to speak here in this church. And I'd like to thank this church for being a supportive church of the Gideon ministry over the years. And may God bless each one of you real good.